You can spend hours in an airport and never learn anything about the people around you. Who they are, why they're travelling, how they're feeling.
People fly for all sorts of reasons, and flying generates all sorts of emotions for different people. We see everything at the airport in one way or another.
Leading me through the many lives at Heathrow in London, England, is Reverend Ruth Bottoms.
We might go to some of the places where we know people might be facing something in particular, so the family area where the children are playing, in front of departure boards where people are waiting and trying to work out which gate they should be at and things.
Ruth is the head of Heathrow's multi-faith chaplaincy, a pastoral service that attends to the emotional and spiritual needs of flyers and staff.
At Heathrow, we meet people, there is no assurance of meeting them ever again. It's like the philosophers we say, you cannot enter a flowing river twice.
All year round, her team of 20 chaplains spend hours circulating through Heathrow's 5 terminals, responding to whatever the airport throws their way.
Sometimes I just sit and talk to somebody who's perhaps frightened, and we talk about faith. They've got faith that the aeroplane's going to stay in the air, and I say, just like me, I have faith with my walk in life.
Where are we going now, Ruth?
So we're going into Terminal 3 check-in area, where we've got a primary school who are coming to perform a play about an airport.
Is this a normal occurrence at Heathrow Airport?
It's the first time I've been aware of it.
I'm Jude Shapiro, and for this episode of the documentary from the BBC World Service, I'm following Heathrow's chaplains to see what happens when faith, flight, and the stresses of Europe's busiest airport combine.
Oh, here we go.
Well, we've definitely got a taxi driver, a captain, a passenger with an air pillow, oh, a cabin crew with a pillbox hat on. Oh, look at all you guys.
Right.
Our play is called Trapped in Terminal 3, and it is by Mr. Wood and Miss Hughes. So the main story behind it is a girl named Sammy, and she's trying to get to New York to see her grandma, but there are many obstacles causing her not to go.
And what was the one you sung at the beginning? What song was that?
Traps.
Do you know what's really funny is that this week I'm trapped in the airport. I'm here for the whole week.
Oh my gosh.
That's a little bit tiring for you, is it?
That would be really tiring.
What would you do if you were in an airport for 6 days?
To be honest, I would be, like, trying to get out.
You think I should try to get out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just, like, stay calm, try and find out what's going on, and I would also be, like, trying to get out.
Okay, I'm going to take that advice.
In the first 6 months of 2024, Heathrow Airport served 39.8 million people.
I don't know what the acreage is, but it's relatively speaking quite small. But in terms of the sheer numbers of people, 100,000 people flying out, 100,000 flying in, that's a small city on the move every day. So we've arrived at T2, and my Buddhist volunteer on the team, Rob, is here.
Hello, Jude.
So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I'm Rob MacPhail. I'm the Buddhist chaplain here at Heathrow.
What would be your advice to me this week?
God, this sounds like hippiedom, doesn't it? But basically, go with the flow. If you're waiting to see some catastrophe happen here, and we all rush in with our halos burnishing, it won't happen.
Hello, can I help you?
Just trying to get up to Terminal 3.
Terminal 3?
Yes.
It's along that way.
Perfect, thank you so much.
Have a good day.
Appreciate it.
Hello.
Elizabeth Line.
Elizabeth Line, yes, if you follow the blue signs.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Pleasure.
Bruce, an Anglican chaplain, has worked at Heathrow for 3 years.
Hello, sir.
I can't find this. Can you show me where it is?
What's that? What are you looking for? Let me have a
Heathrow
look.
Heathrow Travel Care.
Absolutely. So, Travel Care. Yeah,
can you, I can't find it. Can you show me?
Come, let me show you.
Yeah. Hiya, by the way, I'm Jude. I've got this because I'm making a radio page. What's your name?
Cyril.
Why are you here today, Cyril?
Because I'm after this travel care, because I'm homeless. They find me somewhere to stay.
Can I ask how long you've been homeless for?
2 years. My wife died and we lost the flat. So he's a vicar.
Yeah, he's a chaplain.
What's the difference? Chaplain is a vicar, isn't it?
You're quite right.
Yeah.
I'm ordained.
Yeah.
Are you religious, Cyril?
Yeah, I'm a Church of England.
So am I.
Is that important to you?
Yeah.
Well, it's been good for me because it's made me realise that nobody has the exclusivity of the truth. We all have the truth, but from different standpoints. The difference in an approach between my Christian colleagues and myself are pretty much negligible. There are certain rules of engagement. We're not here to push a particular faith or way. If somebody asks, you tell them what you believe in and who you are. But it's not really why we're here.
So it's like closed until 2 o'clock.
Oh my God.
Well, why don't you just go downstairs or sit in the sunshine and then pop back?
I'll go where the shops are, I think.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Cyril, would you like me to pray for you before you go? It's your Church of England. Would you like me to pray for you?
Yeah.
Shall we just stand here?
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we just pray for Cyril now. We pray, Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will just renew him and refresh him and be with him on this journey. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
Down here, don't
Yeah, we? That's right.
Chaplaincy around the airport is different from a classical mission in a parish. The parish has a structure. The airport doesn't give us that.
The Spirit of God is not the spirit of timidity.
Father Takura is a Roman Catholic priest. As well as working as a chaplain, he conducts daily masses in the airport and at Heathrow's own chapel, St George's.
We read in the Acts of the Apostles about the descent of the Holy Spirit.
Who comes to the services at St George's?
Principally, staff, passengers, and their families. We also have people who are now retired. They've got a special bond with this place of worship.
St George's Chapel is underground, designed to be shielded from airport noise.
Out there, you will actually be wrapped in the sound of aeroplanes landing and taking off, moving cars, buses, coaches, people talking and shouting. When you are here, it's very serene, it's very calm. You can hardly hear aeroplanes take off. It's like the catacombs. But life, it's out there in the terminals.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. How about you?
Good, thanks.
I suddenly realised that was a microphone and nothing else.
You're not a girl.
So you're Christine...
Stephen, yes, we're married. So you may not have appreciated that.
Yes.
Terminal 2, where we're going, is also the place where Singapore Airlines fly out of. We went to the main office this morning just to see if we can give any support or help.
What happened on Singapore Airlines?
There was a sudden drop in... air pressure. One gentleman sadly passed away, about 18 or so quite badly injured. One of the worst incidents of turbulence that has been known for a long time. If folk do turn up, then we can come along and sit down and listen and help. But as you've inferred already, a lot of folk that approach us are wanting directions. But that's often the way into conversation.
You see the Dublin flight there, the 14:20 Dublin flight?
The Dublin, yes.
I was on the 12 o'clock flight and that was cancelled. Now I'm on the 14:20.
Oh, I see.
Not looking good at the moment, is it? But it's not shown.
So where are you travelling to?
Everything
today?
In the airport's great when flights all run on schedule.
So what, just making some inquiries.
What does an airport chaplain do?
Well, we're here to support passengers and staff. And sometimes people are anxious.
So is a chaplain as in religious chaplain?
Yes, we're a multi-faith chaplaincy.
Oh, very good. Do people appreciate it?
They do. People appreciate it very much.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. We do feel that God leads us to where he wants us to be. But I don't actually believe there is any such thing as a random conversation. People are so often placed in our path just at the right time.
Some of the times I think I've learnt most is attending deaths on board here, which we do. 2-3 years ago, I was called out by the operations centre about 4 in the morning for one of the first aircraft coming in. An 11-year-old boy and his mum were flying into Heathrow en route to Dublin from Lagos, I think it was. On final approach, the boy just died. I mean, he went into his sleep and he didn't wake up again. Police go on first to ensure it's not a crime scene. But then it was a question of sitting with the mother and what do you say to somebody? I've got children myself, I've got grandchildren. The only thing you can do, I don't know quite whether I'm allowed to do this, is I just hold people's hands. I think it helps to be silent.
Before each day begins, I do what's known as a prayer walk, just praying for the Holy Spirit to bless conversations and just discerning what the Holy Spirit's asking me to do.
From the BBC, just doing some recording for the radio. Where are you flying to?
I'm flying to Atlanta, going back home.
What do you do back in America?
I'm a college student. I go to Georgia State University.
Fantastic.
Ready to graduate, but I'm also kind of smelling the roses because I know life is not going to ever be this easy again. God has a lot of things planned out for me, and I know I'm going to remain blessed, but I know it's going to be a process and a journey.
What does it mean to be a Christian in America, especially as a student?
Being a Christian in America, it's kind of like a rare thing because I feel like the Christianity that I was brought up in isn't the one that's kind of like waved. Definitely glad to be a part of that religion, but also traveling is one of the best things, is seeing different religions and seeing where their standpoint is and their beliefs and where they kind of come from. It was definitely like eye-opening.
You seem like a very positive person.
I try to be. I just pray a lot and just trust God and his plan. I'm blessed to have like a really good support system. My family, my boyfriend, they're amazing. Like, my mom will legit take the shirt off her back to make sure I'm warm.
Is it just her? Has she raised you on her own?
For the most part, yeah. She was a single mom raising me. When you don't make a good living, you're kind of, like, stuck in the mindset of, like, living paycheck to paycheck, focused on survival.
What was it like growing up like that?
My mom definitely tried to hide it from us for the most part. And then, like, as you grow up and you're kind of a little bit more aware, you're like, I could see, like, you kind of planted that in a rosy tint when that was probably really hard for you.
It's part of your dream to sort of give back to her.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, she's one of the first people that I think of. Like, and I'm in class and I'm like, oh, my God, this is so hard. And I'm thinking, like, your mom was working way harder than what you were probably working right now. And you want to take care of her. In due time, I'll be able to.
She sounds amazing.
She is amazing.
Let me just remind you that you're listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Jude Shapiro, back at London Heathrow for day 3, following Reverend Ruth Bottoms and her team of airport chaplains around.
I mean, we have a lot of very mundane conversations here. We've had to become experts in where the nearest toilets are, smoking area, how to catch an Uber. But sometimes, and you can't predict when, the conversations suddenly take a turn. If you just show an interest in people, people choose to share more. They don't have to. I don't assume they will. But it's a privilege when people give you just a little glimpse through a window into their lives.
Ruth lets me know that she's had a chat with one of the cleaning supervisors first thing. I catch up with him on his break.
So did you come into Ruth's office this morning?
Yes.
What were you up to?
It's a daily swab test to find out how clean the areas are that we cover. Oh, I mentioned to you about my wife. She had a kidney transplant back in 2009. I came into work. And as usual, I phoned her in the morning. She said, oh, I don't feel too good. So I got my daughter to go and see to her. She'd had a heart attack. So she was rushed to hospital. When they did the blood tests, they found out her kidneys were really badly failed. And I looked into it and they said, you're going to have to go into dialysis. It's highly unlikely you'll get another transplant. I think she's sort of, you know, writing herself off. But we're slowly but surely getting her back. She'll get there. Touch wood. I'm finding it hard to cope with it because, you know, I didn't expect at this time of life to be pushing my wife in a wheelchair. But who knows what's going to happen in the future.
Are you religious?
I do believe in my own way. And I do read the Bible. I have it on my phone.
Are you finding it useful at the moment?
I found this place pretty useful, coming in here. Contemplate God, I think. Just talk over things, hoping somebody's listening. If something happens, it happens. If it doesn't, well, we'll wait and see what happens at the end of the world, the end of the day. There should be somebody out there. Otherwise, how did we get here? Don't think it's got anything to do with ET, do you?
And how are you? Oh, is that starting now? Sorry, we're getting cut short a bit because they have their Friday prayers now.
That's the first time I've heard that. My son-in-law is a Muslim. My daughter and him got married 15 years ago now. He's Algerian. That's right. He just got his citizenship. But, yeah.
The chaplaincy team also looks after the 10 prayer rooms dotted across Heathrow, open to all faiths, but most regularly used by Muslim passengers and staff.
Oh, my name is Hassan. Well, today's Friday, so I came for the Friday prayer.
What were you thinking about today?
Well, what topic Imam touched today about Prophet Ibrahim. There are a few points which were raised by the Imam which I need to work on. My daughter is 7, my son is 4, so you can imagine it. So they are keeping me on my toes.
What were you like at their age? Were you...
Well, I was not brought up in this country. I was born and brought up back home in Pakistan. I was 17. I still remember landed at Heathrow, the same terminal which I'm working at the moment. Go out and looking at the people around me, going through the immigration, collecting my bag, coming out. It was a very mixed feeling. Like, I was happy that I'm meeting my sisters and my siblings after a long time. And it was a kind of a shock for me as well, like confused.com I was. And my first job, I remember I worked at an airport in 2012. When I came to work, I just said hello to my colleagues and that was it, because I was way too shy to speak. Now I know how to talk, how to discuss things and everything. When you come to prayer, you always see some familiar faces. So one time, two time, and then third time, you will start saying hello to them and start interacting with them. So that's how I make friends from prayer room.
Heathrow must mean quite a lot to you.
It does mean a lot because I work here full time, so half of my life I've spent so far at Heathrow.
I love this one. In loving memory of Big Phil. He was only 38 years old and next door to Terry, who was a British Airways worker.
in front of St George's Chapel is a memorial garden, honouring those with a deep connection to the airport.
As you can see, we've got a large number of different plaques on the wall. The one you're looking at, I love, says an aviation enthusiast. You know, possibly coming and watching the aeroplanes taking off or landing and smelling the aviation fuel.
Do you ever come across people when you're walking through this garden?
Yes, I can tell you an anecdote. On this particular day, one of the chaplains asked for somebody to come to the garden to actually water some flowers. And as I came in, I saw a lady very distressed on the bench, and she was crying because it was her daughter's funeral and she didn't feel able to attend it. She wasn't able to explain or articulate to me why, but I could sense there was a sense of guilt, a sense of fear, a sense of apprehension. For us to have that interaction and that time of prayer together, I would say it was God ordained, that it was meant to be.
So basically a statement block.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So he rung us and was like, "You would better get that changed."
What's that?
One of the dates of the bereaved.
Birth dates.
One of the dates
the bereaved
was wrong. That's wrong, yeah.
You know the one on the
wall?
So we've
got to replace the whole thing just for that one number.
Good to see you.
On my last day, Ruth and I take a final walk through the airport together.
So if you've come through on a plane and you've come out into this arrivals area and you're needing to get to another terminal or the train station or the tube station, you would head down here into what we call the tunnels.
Ruth spots a young woman on the ground by a help point. She tells us she normally uses a wheelchair and is trying to get to check-in. She's walked as far as she can on her own.
You say you're going to Canada to see your mum?
Yeah.
Does she live there?
Yeah. We're on hold, but we are number one in the queue.
Yeah, that's something.
So we'll stay with you till we get you handed over to the assistance team and things, if that's all right.
How do you feel about flying?
50-50 on that one. Mainly I stay in my flat, barely going out much, so this is mega big.
And you said your mum's a vicar, so is that with Anglican Church or the Church of Christ of Canada?
Well, she actually started in Wales.
Oh, so Church of Wales. Okay.
Oh, it's getting noisy.
The sounds are quite intense, aren't they?
Yeah. Sound sensitive, sight sensitive, I got the lot.
This is a really big adventure for you.
Yeah, huge. I set my own challenges, but I always overdo them.
What other challenges have you set yourself?
Dropping my dog off the other day was one.
And what's the dog called?
Jazz. Jazz by name, Jazz by nature. Got a picture of the little drama queen.
Oh yeah, let's see.
Oh, that's cute.
She's brilliant at her job. If I pass out, she knows exactly what to do.
So does she count as an assistance dog?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that was the person.
Can we see a wheelchair? Oh yeah.
Yay, he took long enough.
What does this job mean to you personally?
It's very much a chance for me to live out a lot of my core beliefs about the fact that God loves everyone, that every human being is unique. For me, it's more important that we are seeking to be about bringing in the kingdom of God, justice, righteousness, peace, rather than getting too concerned, as I feel sometimes churches do, with structures and the institution. Church exists to serve the world.
So you want to be out in it?
I do indeed.
From here we will take you to the next desk.
Okay.
Near gate 16, and when the gate opens, then somebody will take you in the buggy from there. Okay, thank you.
Is that all right?
Yeah, thanks.
You're clear on what happens next?
As clear as I can be.
You've made it. You've got to check in time.
You're going to get to the gate in time. Okay.
That's me, yeah.
And give my greetings to your mum as a vicar to a vicar, as it were.
I'll tell her that.
You tell her that. All right, you take care.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
In a commercial environment of constant change, the chaplains offer solace, meaning, and community. And each fleeting encounter they have, be it by chance or divine intervention, gives you faith in the power of connection and understanding between strangers.
You can't measure chaplaincy in quite the same way you can measure so much else that goes on at Heathrow. What I love is the encountering people who are so different to me and my experiences, and yeah, that challenges you and changes you.
The chaplaincy has taught me one of the prime Buddhist ethics of right speech. Everything you say has an effect. And this idea of right speech is practiced, I think, very well here by the other chaplains. It is something I think we should all do well to remember.
I don't know what a collective name for a group of chaplains is. It's not a gaggle or a herd.
What do you think it should be?
Well, a company sounds grand.
A company of chaplains?
A company of chaplains? Host. Perhaps that's more spiritual. Host of chaplains.
You've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service. This episode was produced and presented by me, Jude Shapiro, and is a Peanut and Crumb production.